Adam Bergstrom, his website is solartiming.com, sunsinknutrition.com, and his book is Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition. You can also get ebooks on the Sunsink Nutrition, I'm sorry, on solartiming.com for a few bucks, and that'd be fun. They got a lot of great things to. Adam also has a blog on One Radio Network every few days, so check that out. And he responds to your questions and queries and comments on the blog, so that's pretty cool. Here's an email. A friend of mine ate a melted cheese sandwich for lunch, and it sat like a rock. I recommended a little apple cider vinegar and honey and water. She took it and helped, but she was surprised because she said cheese is a protein and ACV is alkaline. Usually it takes an acid to break down a protein. Can you explain how ACV helped her feel better in her gut?
Well, it's not the, in ACV, it's not, it's an acid. It's a very, very mild acid.
Apple cider vinegar. So those of you who are in Panoma, yeah, apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, it's so it's not an alkaline, obviously, because it's a vinegar, which is by definition an acid. However, it's such a slight acid. The acidity isn't what does it. And the melted cheese, unfortunately, it is a protein, but it's a plastic. You're making a total plastic out of it, and the saliva in your mouth actually takes melted cheese and makes a ketone reaction. Now, a ketone reaction is done to harden things. It's used in labs to harden things. A good friend of mine had a laboratory where he worked with resins and plastics, and I saw his bottle of ketone. I said, what's this for? Well, to harden my plastics. So why would I want to harden the cheese in my body so it's indigestible? Herb Kane someone else, I forget who wrote the column, but Velveeta cheese, for instance, is 100% indigestible.
Yeah, that stuff's just not, that's not really cheese, is it? I mean, it's just a cheese product.
Yeah, but cheese, once you harden it, once you cook it, it becomes a plastic at that point, indigestible. It becomes like swallowing chewing gum. And in fact, in this article, the person said, I swallow my chewing gum every time I chew it. Is that a problem? He said, no, Velveeta cheese is completely indigestible, so why would that be a problem? But actually, being a colonic therapist, I can tell you that that chewing gum and that melted cheese can get stuck in your cecum. And people don't realize that the cecum is a backup stomach. It's actually a stomach. They knew that back 100 years or more ago, and it's been totally forgotten its value in digestion. It takes up what the stomach doesn't get, the cecum will get. But we don't hear that anymore. You won't find it on Wikipedia.
There are people that have commented that if Italians eat all this pizza, you know, that they really don't have that obesity problem like we do in this country. Well, my experience is when I went over there and played around, the cheese that they use in Italy is like so sparing compared to the United States. I mean, United States pizza is like a Pizza Hut. It's all cheese, right? Just cheese. But in Italy, it's not. It's mostly a little garlic and basil, little tomato, you know, really good tomatoes, and just a very, very little bit. And the cheese is generally raw cheese, too. So it's a whole different game over there.
Once it's used sparingly, like Mexican food, for instance, in our country, isn't the same.
No.
So you can go over the border and see very healthy people. And when I was in El Paso, a border town where they had all these supposed Mexican food joints, I was on the bus one time looking at everybody and seeing all the pimples and skin problems and everything on them. You don't see that. I've been down to Jalapa and Puerto Vallarta. You don't see that down there.
Peter writes in, if I would start to eat in the morning or even at noon, I would have major digestive problems. I started by eliminating breakfast first, and then I started eating at lunch, and now I'm starting to delay it even later, and the later seems like the better I feel. Can Adam give me some ideas of why this is happening?
Trauma. Trauma has a lot to do with it, and we can feel better because we get high with the opioids that are being released by doing that, and the cortisone. Cortisol is a chemical you get high. That's why we get high on things that are in like magic mushrooms and all of those. Those are basically the toxins of the plant that does that. So you can get high by fasting. I've done it myself. I've been to Sufi workshops where we've foregone for a day or two or three. And boy, you get high as a kite. You don't need to sleep and everything like that. You're totally into the, there is no parasympathetic nervous system during fasting. You basically are running on the sympathetic nervous system and cortisol and all of those, which I think is not a bad thing. But if you persist in it over a long time, you get in trouble. But you will feel good doing that. Oh, yes.
But you don't think long term you would be advised to do that, just to, like he's
you repeated. Don't see too many people who eat that way end up in the hundreds. And what I do is study the people who are 95 or 100 years old. I don't study what goes on in the laboratory or blood tests or any of that. You know, this whole thing on functional medicine and what do they call it, experiential medicine, whatever it's called, this is nonsense. Their experiment, their experience is the test. What I look is how do you look? Do you gain muscle mass? Do you suddenly your paralyzed arm moves?
Yeah.
That to me is experiential medicine. Not, you know, look, your blood test looks good now. What does that even mean? It changes. Cholesterol used to be what, 200 was considered bad. 260. Now they know you live longer. If you're in a nursing home and you have 260, that's your best chance for surviving the people around you.
Yeah, this fits right in this email. Hi, Patrick and Adam. I would love to hear you guys' opinion on what test I can run to establish a health baseline. Still not sleeping after a few years overall. Feel pretty darn great, but I don't sleep, and I suspect something I am missing in my diet, and I'm overdoing something in my protocol, and I want to dream, which is a big cause of my concern of not sleeping. So I'm investigating some DO naturopaths to run some tests. Finally, minerals, vitamins, hormones, anything I forgot, please add to the list. 45-year-old male, feeling better after working on T-levels and with pine pollen, Tongatali, and Shilajit ashwagandha for 3 months now. So he's getting his little T-levels up. He's feeling better with pine pollen, some other things. So maybe he doesn't need to sleep as much as he thinks. I mean, he sounds like he's doing pretty good.
Could be. You know, a lady came into Scandia Health Food Store where I worked at one point, and she wanted some tryptophan to go to sleep. And I looked at her, and there was something special about her. She looked so healthy. So I said, why do you want the tryptophan? Well, I want to go to sleep at night. Well, do you feel tired at night? No. Then why do you want to go to sleep? Well, I live with my family, and they go to sleep at night. I said, well, do you want to go to sleep at night? No, not necessarily, but where would I go? Well, do you have a private room in the place you're staying? Well, yes, I do. But what would I do all night? What's your favorite thing to do? Read. Well, why don't you read all night? Oh, thank you, thank you. She began crying, and she left the health food store, and I lost the sale, and I was glad.
I'll be done. And Matt, I have an idea for you. I mean, you could look into My Spiritual Path, which talks, it's a path of total awareness, and it's been around since the beginning of time. And it's non-denominational. Everybody kind of sprung out of the idea of divine spirit. And you could do ekakar.org and get some books, and they'll send you a couple free. And you can learn how to soul travel there at night. Just, you know, just sit in your couch, and which is better than dreaming. And then who knows what your body will do during that time. So something you can learn how to do. And, you know, you may have got to the point where you don't really need to, quote, sleep, unquote, as we commonly know it, as much as people say. I mean, people come up with a lot of ideas. Well, if you don't sleep 8 hours a day, you're going to die, right? You're going to have a heart attack.
You know, our Western medicine can't accept things like bilocation and things like that.
Nah,
I was studying with the Swami who could do things like that and did it. And there's plenty of stories of people. I've experienced it myself. People that have levitated with him. I haven't done that. And he's walked through walls and he's been invisible. I saw him. Now, this is really strange to say that I saw someone go invisible. I had a friend of mine named Jean Sprang, and for some reason, Adano Lay did not want her to see him. So she came into the health food store where I work. She knew Adano really well, but when she came in, there was Hugo and Melissa and Ginger and Adano and myself. And she came in and said hello to all of us except Adano, which I thought was really strange. So she went, came back and forth, talked and everything, and Melissa had her arm around Adano, and she couldn't see him. In and out, in and out. And finally, Ginger said, Adano, mentioned his name, he quickly hit her on the head and said, shish, like his name would give him away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, years later, I talked to Gene Sprang on the phone and said, do you remember that day, Hugo and Ginger? Yeah, yeah, and O'Donnell. O'Donnell wasn't there. I said, yes, he was. She never believed me. She wouldn't believe me that he was actually there. And she was 3 feet in front of him and could not see him.
Yeah.
Now, how do we explain that?
Well, I think it's a state of consciousness, and I have known masters that have kind of made themselves invisible just because they want to. That's all you really need to do, and you believe it, and people just don't see you. Because the body just, I don't know, the body just disappears because you know it's not really there. You know what I mean? I people can do it. They've done it.
Yep.
They've done
we
it.
Have little forces. Like I've seen, this is a typical day with the Donald Lay. One time, Melissa Wolf says, let's go to get our afternoon snack.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, no, I'm working on that lady across the room. And so then all of us, of course, look over, and she's actively talking, very friendly and everything, and talking to a friend of mine named William Cronin. Well, suddenly, she clouds up and starts sobbing. And, of course, William Cronin's like, what did I do? And then O'Donnell walks over, gently works on her shoulders, does a little massage, and says, okay, we can go get our
that's great.
Afternoon pie now.
Yeah.
So you explain those, you know.
Yeah. Somebody, David sent me an email of this chiropractor. It's pretty cool. David Williams, and he's got these little techniques how he helps people with acid reflux and stuff by and hiatal hernias, where he's got this way that you can use like a 4-pound weight that you release the pyloric valve, and what's the other valve from the small intestine to the large? What's that one?
Well, the small intestine to the large is the ileocecal valve.
Ileocecal, and then he's got one, the pyloric is from tummy to small, right?
Yep.
And I saw the video and it looks really interesting. I've been playing with it a little bit. And, you know, you can really feel something going on there if it's sore sometimes. I wonder why that would stick. It could probably just be an energetic thing.
Hmm? Well, specifically, the ileocecal will stick when people have trouble making decisions.
Uh-huh.
As soon as they make a decision, that will immediately open up. 90% of the time, it gets stuck open, and about 10% of the time, it gets closed. Closed usually requires a chiropractic adjustment because it's harder to deal with. The other one, you just have to push down on it and it frees it, or pull up on it and it frees right up. It locks right up, closes.
He's got a way he demonstrated. He's got one of these 4-pound weights at him where he actually kneads it, you know, in one direction, like to the left. And after you knead it for a couple of minutes, and he takes the weight and then he kind of moves the stomach contents into that little valve. Same thing he does with the ileocecal. It's pretty cool. There's something going on with this little thing. I don't even know how we existed without YouTube and this stuff. Isn't this fun, isn't it?
Yeah. YouTube helps. Yeah. And by the way, the ileocecal valve, large intestine 4 in the webbing between the thumb and the index finger. That is the ileocecal valve.
I thought that was the colon point in there.
Yes, but it's the ileocecal valve point, and it's right there at the webbing on the right side, not on the left side. That's the sigmoid colon point.
Oh.
And I first discovered that when I was working on a friend of mine, and when I touched that point, I saw his abdomen actually jump up at the ileocecal valve where it opened up. And I was so fascinated with it, I later found out that through Dr. Vohl's work, that yes. He validated it, but he'd found it electromagnetically, and I found it just by looking at it.
Hello, Colleen says, I'm writing out of desperation. My 3-year-old daughter was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor. Oh, I'm trying to heal her from the inside out. I guess I'm writing to see if you're in contact with any naturopath doctors who can help me. Been trying to reach Dr. Robert Morse, but no return calls. Most of the doctors in my area don't want to help us. I need help fast. Can you please give me any resources? I'm in Chicago and willing to travel. You got any ideas, Adam?
Morning foods, because obviously it's a brain tumor. The person who had the most success with gliomas and other types of brain tumors was Emmanuel Ribisi. I think they still have a lab in New York. The niece of Emmanuel Ribisi was running it. and the nephew was providing the medical supervision behind it. He's in New Jersey, a kidney specialist, and I've lost track of them, but Ravisi routinely got rid of brain tumors and brain cancers and was curing them left and right. And witnesses to that are, let me see, some famous health food people he worked on. Oh boy, I'm not thinking of their name now, but there were a lot of them.
That, so there's still an organization in New York, New Jersey, that this lady could explore, the Ravisi Clinic, or what?
Yes, I was in touch with them, but the number that I called was gone, so either they've moved to a new location or they're out of business. I hope not, because they were having successful results. Ravisi was his book. You can get some tips on it by reading his physiology book. It's there under Ravisi Textbook. Rather than giving you a long name, all you have to do is put Ravisi Textbook and put in glioma or brain and get some, find someone experienced in that department is the best thing for brain tumors I've found.
Oh, I just pulled them up. They're there. Cancercure.org. It is a Ravisi Life Science Center in New York.
Great, great. That's good.
I'll send her this link. And you said morning foods are good, just nuts and...
Well, since the brain is related to a nut, usually a nut of some kind is going to be involved in the remission of symptoms for brain cancers, because they do go away. You know... Well, you know, you've talked to people who have been cured of cancer, and my favorite case is Judy Utley, who I've talked about many times, who had spinal cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, and she was completely cured for 9 years. And I don't know what she finally died of 9 years later, but it wasn't the cancer she was diagnosed with.
So could this lady just start giving more nuts to her little one in the morning safely, or would she have to know some more specifics on what she's doing, in your opinion?
Nuts. For instance, let's take, what's the name? The hazelnut. The hazelnut is the same, related to the yew tree, and has small amounts of, what is the cancer-fighting chemical that they use in the yew tree? Golly, it escapes my name. But anyway, yes, they have the chemicals that they use for brain cancer in a hazelnut.
Hazelnut. Hmm.
That's the same as in the yew tree. And for some reason, the yew tree chemical is not coming to me, but it was the most common cancer-curing chemotherapy on the market for a while.
Huh. I'll be darned. All right. I'll mention that to her. It's kind of fun.
At your next break, I'll see if I can look that up.
Okay. Oh, the yew tree. Let's see here. Going through some emails. This is from Shanny, from old Shantytown. Oh, if a good yawn brings tears to the eyes, and that is good to release carbon dioxide, what happens when someone actually cries many tears?
Better. Better
even
yet.
Better.
Even better. Yeah, crying and laughing is something that repress. Most heart attacks occur in people who can't cry. I recommend people see movies like Grand Canyon or Resurrection, these movies that make people cry, particularly tears of joy. But even tears of sorrow helps, as long as you follow it up with a good laugh or a comedy. When I used to go see double features, I would see the tragedy first, like a love story, and then go and see the Jim Carrey movie second. And I highly recommend that as therapy.
Carrey's movies are pretty hilarious, like Liar Liar, and they're funny.
They are hilarious. Yeah, I'm a big Jim Carrey fan from the beginning.
Okay, stay right there. We're going to take a quick little break here. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. It's an honor to be here every morning. And we do everything by just promoting stuff. And if you like this stuff, you can buy some. And if not, well, it doesn't matter. Just listen in every day, Monday through Friday. And then we have about, over 2,500 shows all free for the taking. Just download them or listen on the computer, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. We have two of these Carbon 60s. One is from Bob Greska, which is in the safflower oil. that Doodle and I took a man. We're still taking some, but I like the product. I can feel something going on with it. Doodle likes it, so she just opens her mouth. I give her a little squirt. And then I also do Wayne Blakely's The Perfect Molecule product, and that's something fun to do. And, you know, there is a rat study. I don't know who did it or, you know, if they had carbon 60. I don't think they were carbon 60 sellers or anything. This is years ago in France. And they showed that they actually extended the life and protected the rats from radiation. And Wayne Blakely conjectures that that's what's going on and will help you to block or protect from EMFs. You know, the jury's out on exactly what's going to do. But hey, with all these EMFs running around in 5G, 6G, 7G, 20G, who knows? You know, I mean, just leverage as whatever you can. I don't believe any of them thing will hurt me, because I think that's the most important thing. But, you know, trust in God and tie up your camel. And you got a few bucks, get some. And, you know, and even if you just feel better just because you're taking it, that's going to even help the spiritual aspects even get stronger. That makes sense, right? Stockton Aloe 1. Adam's a big fan of aloe. I am too. I quit counting. I've done so much aloe vera. And I just had a glass a little bit this morning. Should have it at night. It's a nighttime thing, but I cheated and just had a little slurp of it. Sometimes I'll have it in the middle of the night. And so I need some water. Hold on. Boy, it's dry here and deep in the heart of Texas. I'll tell you what. Whew. We haven't seen any rain nigh on a long time. Anyway, this aloe just takes the pulp right out of the aloe, and then they flash freeze it. There's no sodium benzoate, you know, the preservative they have in all the aloe. They don't pasteurize it, so it's got all the mo and the joe, and it's Stockton Aloe 1. Amazing product. Whew. Like I say, I think 20 half gallons have gone in this little Italian body. Can you imagine that in 6 months or so? I just love it. My body loves it. I think it helps you to stay young and juicy, and your gut likes it. You can just click an order, the minimum of 2 1/2 gallons, and you also, they'll throw in a free nice fairy tube. It's one of my favorite face creams, and I mix in the Pearlseum into the aloe and put that on my face, you know. It's cool, man. Very cool. Oh, gosh. Stockton Aloe 1, front page, oneradionetwork.com. Previously with chemist, biologist, and nutritionist George Altgelt, we asked him this. And so what do you think about Dr. Seneff's contention that as these glyphosates are in the soil, they bust the sulfur cycle, and that's really detrimental to the body?
It's extremely detrimental. Sulfur is such an important detoxifying agent for the entire body, and especially for the liver. You've got to have trace minerals so that the liver can build these compounds that are essential for getting itself cleaned. And that lady who was talking about sulfur,
mm-hmm.
Man... play that ad every chance you get, because our foods are so deficient in sulfur, and it is a big deal for the liver to have enough sulfur to make all those compounds that it uses to detoxify itself. Not just sulfur, they're all important, but sulfur is the one that we're so deficient in, and we need sulfur.
Thanks, George. I had some this morning. You might want to give it a try. You can click an order right on the front page of oneradionetwork.com. 3 locations, 3 prices delivered. And if you like more than £4 for a discount, email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Previously with Andrew Goss, I asked him why would someone want to buy coins from his company.
So if you don't know coins, you better know your coin dealer. And, you know, you shouldn't buy coins from someone who isn't well-known registered dealer. So if they're an NGC dealer, they're registered with NGC. If they're a PCGS dealer, they're registered with PCGS. Ask questions. Don't just, oh, yeah, here's 10 grand or 50 grand or 150 grand. I just want to buy coins, you know, let me know what I'm getting. And no, that's not how an intelligent investor does it. And we do not let you do that. So if you're not willing to learn about the coins that you're buying, maybe you should find another coin firm. Don't call this one, because we're going to insist that you know why and how a coin is rare. And once you know that, then I think you can take that knowledge into the marketplace and make intelligent investment decisions.
Aha, what a concept, intelligent investment decisions. I've known Andrew for 25 years. He's the real deal. His company, STL, 800-468-2646. Give him a call if you're interested. 800-468-2646. Well, gold is about steady, Freddy, at 1211. It's been going down a little bit. 1541 for sliver. Stock market's at $25,457. Dollar is just super strong. Dollar has been taking its elk velvet antler and pine pollen, so it's on steroids, and it's now at 95.30. Crazy. That's so strong. Well, Andy says it's the cleanest dirty shirt out there with currencies. Andrew Goss, he's a great guy. Known him a long time, and he buys and sells gold coins for a living. If you're interested in exploring there, he can send you some CDs, and he'd be the guy to go to if this is all interesting to you, to put a little numismatic coins in your portfolio. You know what you say? We like to have portfolios. I don't even have a portfolio, but I'd like to have one when I grow up. Andrew Goss, 800-468-2646.
I know it doesn't seem that way, but maybe it's the perfect day. Even though the bills are piling, and maybe Lady Luck ain't smiling, but if we'd only open our eyes, we'd see the blessings in disguise. That all the though our troubles seem like mountains, there's gold in them hills. There's gold in them hills.
That's what they said in the late 1800s. They put the kids and mom in the covered wagon and went out to California because there's gold in them hills. They haven't stopped going. They just go out there looking for gold, don't they, Adam?
Mostly in Nevada these days.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's where most of the gold in the mined in the U.S. comes from, is Nevada.
I thought where they mined aliens in Nevada.
Yeah, that too. Area 51. Ooh.
Area 51.
And by the way, for that woman, the chemical that is in hazelnuts is called Taxol. Remember Taxol?
No, spell that.
T-A-X-O-L, officially P-A-C-I-T-A-X-O-L. It comes from the Himalayan yew tree, and medicine used to use it. It's in homeopathic amounts in the hazelnut. And more important, though, any parent that has a problem with their child, it would be very important for them to read one of the over 1,000 blogs that I've put on One Radio Network. It's called Where Do We Begin and Where Do We End? And it was written in February 4th, 2014. You'll easily find it with your wonderful search function on One Radio Network. Uh-huh. And basically, it says that a parent is not separate from their child.
No.
And so the cognitive shock, a familial cognitive shock, must be dealt with in the parents, which can do more for healing the child than working on the child. You know, it was said, I think, therefore I am.
Yeah.
But actually it is, I am, therefore I am, therefore I am that I am. And we totally do not accept that in our society because we're into I think, therefore I am, and forget soul power over mind power. Many mind power books, but how many soul power books do you find?
Yeah, well, I know what you mean. Mine's coming out, Soul Power. It's great, yeah, I know. Well, let's see here. We have some good things to send that lady. I'll put that together for her. Question for Adam. When I take any supplement that has an anti-inflammatory action, after a couple of days, I start getting extremely anxious. I then have to stop taking it, and it clears up. I have a history of childhood trauma Could it be that I need to have I need to have inflammation present for some protective reason until I finally clear up the trauma?
I would say so. And by the way, most anti-inflammatories are anything but. Just because it says anti-inflammatory, people believe it, just like they believe in antioxidants and oxidants. For instance, bromelain is considered an antioxidant, but only one of the bromelain chemicals is actually has an antioxidant activity, and the other seven have oxidant. So don't believe what you read on labels. And inflammatory involves cortisol, nitric oxide, which is supposed to be anti-inflammatory, omega-3s, which are supposed to be anti-inflammatory. Now, omega-3s are partially in the same way that I guarantee you can get rid of your inflammation by getting an x-ray treatment. But think of the side effects from that. So taking the average anti-inflammatory is anything but.
So could she be having this inflammation as a protection thing of some reason and better off just not taking any anti-inflammatories and work on the trauma?
Very commonly. In the blog entry, where do we begin and where do we end, you'll find a perfect example of that where this, see, I won't go into it because it's there to read and I'll be wasting time on going into it. But those kind of connections with traumas are much more important. Here's an example. Claude Bernard is a very, very famous physiologist. But what did he do? He was cruel. He took dogs and bashed them in the skulls and gave them concussions and gave everyone, 100% of those dogs, diabetes when they were perfectly normal blood sugar before that. And doctors checked his premise out on patients and found the same thing. They could find concussion patients and sugar came pouring out of the urine.
Well, that's so stupid. Trauma. Why would he do that?
You know, he was a mean character, and he's famous. I mean, you hear doctors and you say, Claude Bernard. Oh, yeah, Claude Bernard. Wow, what a great researcher. But he wasn't, if you ask the average dog about Claude Bernard, they're not going to be too happy.
I wouldn't be happy with that guy either. Could you ask Adam Bergstrom, what is the best time to eat kelp noodles and also the best time to eat miso? And she's got several questions here. Let's take them one at a time. So, okay, we have kelpy noodles and the miso soup.
If the kelp noodle is made out of totally out of kelp, then it's going to be nighttime. The miso and hacho 3-year-old miso is the best. It's midday. And if you want to combine them two, then you eat them between 6:30 and 7 o'clock at the end of kidney time, and you can eat both of them together.
So hacho, is that a soybean thing?
Yes, it is made out of soybean. And once you convert it into a miso, it still is anti-radiation, and it is a good product. I would recommend avoiding the GMO, which is pretty hard now. Right. But as a therapy for radiation, if you didn't know other things to do, screw the DMO because the radiation poisoning is more dangerous than the GMO product.
Right, right. And all the negative effects with soy of over-estrogenic and all that, don't they get dampened down when you ferment them like in a miso thing?
Yes, and also when you extract things from it, like you get soy sauce and things.
Yeah, these are okay.
Can't be just all in one lump sum.
But get organic, folks, if you're going to do soy, because there's so many GMOs out there that we don't know what's going on. GMO land, you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah, these groupings together, it's like saying all humans are nice because you meet St. Augustine. Then suddenly you meet Adolf Hitler and try to apply the same rule. It doesn't work.
No, when I met Adolf, he was, you know, he just wasn't a nice guy. What can I say?
He should have stayed to painting. Would have had no problem if he was accepted into art school, probably.
That's funny. Can you talk about red clover honey? I can't find red clover honey in the hippie food store. Is there any clover honey? Is any clover honey will work the same as red clover honey?
Yeah, clover honey of any kind will work. If you're looking for a nighttime honey, wildflower honey is better at midday, sage honey, things like that. Morning, avocado honey, tupelo tree honey, things like that are good. With honey, it's not too important if you have small amounts of it. If you're going to drink it in your tea, I wouldn't worry about some wildflower honey in the nighttime. Toward nighttime, just get something closer to the ground. The tree honey is better to be eating in the morning.
Can you ask Adam how Bob Marley would get cancer in his foot that then would unfortunately spread? What causes the spread from such an innocuous place?
Alkalinity. Alkalinity, you can get cancer anywhere, and what spreads it or causes it to metastasize is alkalinity. Now, what grows it first, it grows in an acidic medium. That's the people talking about acids and cancer are exactly right. An acidic antioxidant reaction grows cancer. But many times a person goes to a holistic therapist after they have cancer and they tell them that same information and spread it. Now, that works if you have uterine cancer where it spreads very slowly and grows, then baking soda and those things can work. But baking soda in a ovarian cancer or a breast cancer, that's a death sentence because it metastasizes throughout the body. Other things are involved too, but those are two of the major things involved, are acid-base collections. And by the way, the idea that acid-base is pH is not true. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the proton, because look at carbon dioxide. It can acidify you, and it's actually a protectant against cancer, and that's why you do buccal breathing to protect against cancer, and extended yawning, which also fosters the CO2 reaction and protects against cancer. Something to know with brain cancers and brain tumors as well.
I was reading one of Adam's blog on acid reflux vomiting, and I've had this question for a long time. Decades ago, babies were often given soy-based formula, but no doctor could explain why some suffered from cyclical vomiting. I know now that the estrogen maybe in the soy formula may have been the cause, equivalent to what is in a birth control pill, and the resulting acidity in this tummy. Can Adam explain a bit more what exactly happened in these babies as far as a pressure release mentioned in his vomit-like blog?
Yeah, it's not only the estrogen. There's other things in soy that are very hard to digest for a baby. Technically, a baby should be on breast milk for the first year and not have any solid food. The food should all come from the mother in a perfect situation. But taking things outside of the dairy area, like if you're going to have cow milk and stuff like that, it's certainly better than soy and these other products that they recommend. And basically, you're going to get vomit. Babies aren't supposed to vomit after they eat food, and yet that is common on the formula patterns. But estrogen is a factor too. But in this case, it's just a question of the stomach is not educated enough to handle that type of food. It handles milk. And by the way, raw milk is more important for a baby than it is for an adult. Adult pretty much adjusts, and they can take a heated milk without much difference. There'll be slight differences, but you can live fine off it.
Yeah, I remember early on watching moms and with their diaper on their shoulder, right? And they would give the baby this formula stuff, and then they put them on their shoulder and pat their back, and then they blip and they'd spit up. And I mean, it didn't even make sense to me. I mean, what's going on? Why is the kid spitting up, you know?
Back when I was young and stupid in the my first kids, that's how we were raised. Yeah. And we tried to feed them ahead of time, and they were belching up the food constantly.
Yeah. The kid was saying, listen, don't give me any more of this stuff. I'm spitting it up. And the mom says, oh, okay. But the doctor said this was, God love them. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
You know, we were educated. We thought, I was reading Dr. Spock and all this
sure,
stuff.
Thinking, sure.
I believe all that stuff. Give me my two boys.
Here's an email. Why do some kids starting school, get recurrent bacterial conjunctivitis? How can it be prevented, and what's the cause?
Vectors, being involved with too many people with low immunities. you know, kids' immunities take a little while to get developed, the first 6 years or so. Now sticking people into those preschool environments with other kids, it just spreads things. Now, in a way, it can build super immunity over a time, but if you survive those younger years, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, adults, where do they get the colds from? From schools. Most of our flus nowadays spread from schools, from either the young with underdeveloped immune systems or the old with depleted immune systems. They're the vectors that get the healthy people ultimately. And of course, I beat the flu with eating white coffee and 2 quarts of coffee. I mean, white sugar and 2 quarts of coffee.
Yeah, but you live in California and you're bonkers. You know, we can't go by you.
That's right. But I tell you, it worked. You know, we'll see what happens the next time I get the flu. But I get the flu so often, it's really hard to research.
So seldom.
Yeah. Yes, so seldom.
I listened to the recording from Adam's May show. He mentioned he would put a list of foods to avoid relating to the omega-3s, but I can't find it on the blog. Do you know where I can look?
I think you actually posted that under the show, but I posted it in the blog. I also posted it under in the blog, and what I'll do is the next blog I write, look in the comments section below it,
okay,
and then I'll post those foods too. And remember, this is minimized. You're going to see foods in there that obviously you can't avoid all of these foods. All I'm saying is be aware that they can cause problems. If it's your favorite food and you want to eat it, and you're not having a problem, eat it. But the minimized list are the foods that are the prime offenders for inflammatory foods.
Working through the emails here, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com with Adam Bergstrom. We're going to talk about wild foods and doing some medicine man and woman work at home with Marjorie Wildcraft tomorrow, and also we're going to talk about essential oils, and that's always fun to learn more about those. Here's one for you. Please tell us how to get rid of bunions. They do not hurt, and we walk around mostly barefoot. Does tea tree from bay leaves actually work? Elders used to say not to eat rhubarb after the end of July. Okay, so let's do two questions here. Let's do the rhubarb second. Bunions, what do you know from bunions?
Work on the thyroid. You'll see the thyroid line is what causes the bunions often. So just if you have a well-functioning thyroid, you're not going to have any problem with bunions. But, of course, shoes can hurt it. Obviously, in this case, they're walking around barefoot, so they're not going to have any problem theoretically, if they're walking around barefoot all the time. If you're walking on cement, that may not be true. I'm assuming they're living on a farm or something where they can walk over the rocks and the sand.
Yeah, stuff like that.
And exercise their feet, because, see, we don't get bunions generally on the hands because we're using them, but people forget how to pinch and pick up things with their feet and things, those type of exercises. It's really hard to get bunions even with a low thyroid. Yeah.
I used to watch my mom. It was hilarious. I haven't thought about this for years. Thanks for the visual that she'd be able to pick stuff up with her feet. She'd always be bare feet. And with seven kids, you didn't have time to even bend over. You know what I mean? So she'd pick stuff up off the floor with her feet all the time. It was hilarious. She really got good at it.
Yeah, my friend was so good at pinching people with his big toe and his other toe, he could hurt on you.
That's great. Here, the second part of the question. Elders used to say not to eat rhubarb after the end of July. Why was that so? And is it okay to eat it all summer? They also said not to eat green beans raw.
Oxalic acid in the first case and phytates in the second case. So both have some truth to it. Rhubarb is a poison because of the oxalic acid. Oxalic acid, however, is good for your teeth, so it's good for your teeth. Just don't eat too much and cook the rhubarb, and you break down the oxalic acid, by the way. That's why when you have rhubarb pie, and that is cooked for rhubarb. Nobody eats, that I know of anyway, eats raw rhubarb.
Adam Bergstrom is here, Patrick Timpone. Adam, I'd like you to talk a little bit about this whole lectin thing. I mean, some folks are out there, you know, that all these grains have lectins, and you know, if you eat lectins, you're going to die and stuff. And I need to, while you're answering this question, to run down and get some more water. I've totally run out, and it's so dry here. My throat is like, whoa. So, go.
Okie doke. Lectins. Some lectins are actually anti-carcinogenic, like a wheat germ lectin, jackfruit lectin, several other lectins like that can be. Now, the blood type diet is a lectin-free diet, theoretically, because certain lectins affect certain blood types. I don't find that true, except with lima beans and a few missing foods. But most lectins cause problems. Some, let me mention one that is therapeutic. Cranberry lectin is why you take the cranberry to get rid of an infection in the bladder or the kidneys. The cranberry lectin actually is toxic to the bacteria and takes it out, plus the acidity of the acid in the cranberry, which does not, is volatile, does not break down in the stomach. It goes completely through and carries it out. However, when people take that lectin, because it will start to attack the body if you don't take enough water, you want to just aim that lectin at the bacteria alone.
So, but lectins, go ahead.
They're not the devil, but they cause a lot of people problems.
So I missed a lot of it because I was downstairs. So the bottom line is, if I eat organic brown rice or organic white rice, am I going to die from eating having lectins?
Actually, some lectins are anti-carcinogenic.
Okay.
Wheat germ lectin, jackfruit lectin, mistletoe lectin, and the cranberry lectin is what is operative to clear people of bladder infections. So lectins, again, by judging all lectins are bad, is just not true. You have to take one at a time. However, the bulk of lectins do tend to cause some problems because they're not all user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to die by it's best to cook your food pretty thoroughly to avoid them because they are defense proteins of the plants. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people eat grains. Whole societies have that have eaten grains and they have long lived lives.
Sure.
Know?
So, you know, I guess if you're going to do rice, organic rice, and you soak them first, I like to soak it and then cook them well, you probably just
soaking helps to avoid the lectins and the phytates and things of that nature. And by the way, the blood type diet, as I said, is based on lectins, and that's where I have a disagreement with Peter D'Adamo, that lectins actually work on the intestines, not on the blood, except in a very few cases, like in lima beans and a few others. You won't find that blood reaction, but you will find a gastrointestinal reaction, and that's why in his first book, he mentions the lectin that is the umbrella poison out of James Bond, where you just prick the person with it and they drop over dead. It's been used in many movies. That's a lectin. But I assure you, whether you're an A, an AB, an O, or a B, you're going to die from that lectin.
O or B.
It doesn't matter what your blood type is.
Here is Marlene. She's in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Hi, Marlene. You're way far away. Hi, Patrick. Could you ask Adam the next time he's on? That's right now. If you can get yellow fat disease from taking black seed oils like black sesame oil or black cumin seed oil?
The flaxseed oil you can if you eat a lot of it.
No, she said black sesame seed or black cumin.
Yeah, the other ones, no. Only the flax is the only one because I think she mentioned flax first, and that's the only one. The other ones are fine.
They're fine,
I can't see any way to get it. In fact, sometimes you'll see that corn oil can get it. Well, in the 8 books I've written, I couldn't find a verifiable case. And Monsanto makes a soybean now deliberately to feed fish that cures yellow fat disease because they've known since the 50s that omega-3s cure yellow fat disease. But they actually make it, they've confused the biotech people so completely that they think it's working on the omega-6s. Because of the similarity between linoleic and linolenic acid, you leave out that N or add that N, and the biotech people themselves, these so-called experts, don't even notice Monsanto's sleight of hand.
Yeah. Marlene, go ahead, Adam. Marlene, we think that we probably, I mean, I'm almost sure we have the best oils ever in our store with Andreas. You can get things like black sesame seed. These are all organic, of course. Black cumin seed. Boy, that's powerful. He's got the coriander seed, pumpkin seed, and he does it in a way where there's incredibly low friction, almost no heat, almost zero heat. And he's tested some of them. They have zero oxidation in a Myron glass. I don't think you're going to find oils like these anywhere on the planet. Anywhere on the planet. And Adam, if you would do some research like on a black cumin seed and some of the things they claim this stuff will do, whew. You know, you was a...
I mentioned it on a former show.
Did you?
That
yeah.
Beneficial. And even Ray Pete is pro-black cumin oil, if I remember correctly.
Doesn't it do all kinds of cancer, all kinds of weird stuff? I don't know, you know. But it seems like a pretty cool thing. Pumpkin seed. So the only one you don't like is the flax. That's kind of like
flax. A person encounters flax once in a while, it's not going to hurt.
Yeah, not going to hurt.
Look at the pictures on Facebook that I periodically post of a horse that ate a lot of flax, and look at its necrotic fat disease. It's commonly known, and yet you'll see ads, oh, give your horse flax, it's healthy for them, yet it's been proven time and again, and I've got many references in my 8 books on how it's not good.
What about hemp oil? Is there any issues there from your perspective?
Yep, it's also high in omega-3s. Anything high in omega-3s is usually a problem.
Moderation, right?
In moderation, I eat walnuts are high in omega-3s, but they have other things in it like manganese and stuff and other chemicals. Stuff is the chemical, is the scientific word. That are beneficial. So every day I have about one walnut because there's other things in them besides the omega-3s. And plus I eat coconut oil. And by the way, for the brain tumors to prevent them, one of my favorite desserts is you take coconut oil, about 3 tablespoons or so, and you mix in cacao.
Yes.
It up, and then you put... maple syrup in it to sweeten it to however taste you want. You put it in the refrigerator, and within 2 hours, it's your own chocolate.
Oh, man.
Curative. Coconut oil works on a lot of systems. It's anti-carcinogenic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the best things as a heart tonic and a brain tonic.
Oh, the coconut oil, cacao, and... maple syrup, really. Heart and brain.
Yeah, and I was slow to catch on to the coconut oil. Carol Crosby's the one that always used to tell me to eat it, and I would always eat a small amount. Well, she turned out to be right about that. Coconut oil is really a superior oil to eat. We even fry our eggs in it now. Yeah. We bake our eggs.
There's a coconut oil that's made by Nature's Way, which is a good product, a good company, Nature's Way, and it's organic. But it's the coconut oil stays liquid even when it's cold. I wonder what they do to that. You think that's an issue if you want to get that one?
It's missing something. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt you, but it's missing something.
Devices, yeah. Because coconut oil, again, a saturated fat. They are the good guys nowadays. And if it's not saturated, it's not saturated.
It's not saturated.
What it is, they cut out the lauric acid. Some of them, though, are actually adding omega-3s and omega-6s to the mix, and they shouldn't be doing that. The ones that do it the correct way reduce the amount of lauric acid and a couple of others, so they keep the kind of monosaturates in action, and those are okay. The other kind where they're being sneaky, and I don't have a list of those, just buyer beware.
Here's an email for you. What would Adam do for excruciating urethra pain when urinating? No luck with pure cranberry juice or D-mannose.
Find the trauma is one of the most important things. And I will tell you a brief story here. My co-author of Yes, No, Maybe and I took a friend of ours shopping. And while we were shopping, she got a telephone call. Well, back then you had a beeper, you know. So she went to the payphone and came back and immediately told us, we have to go home because I have to go to the emergency hospital. And my co-author said, what? He said, well, I have a bladder infection. But how come you didn't have a bladder infection 5 minutes ago? Who was that on the phone? Oh, it was my ex-boyfriend. Now, the ex-boyfriend had just kicked her out of the apartment because he said he's going back with his wife, and now he wants to take her out to dinner. So anyway, after explaining to this lady over and over that it was a trauma, and her claiming I don't have any trauma, and finally admitting that she had traumas, she left for the emergency hospital and called my co-author's husband up and said, Adam was right. I am not going to have dinner with that guy, and I'm driving home. Because my infection is completely taken care of.
Wow. That's cool. That's cool.
It's amazing. Sorry, it's longer, but I won't go into the details. But basically, she didn't have to go to the hospital suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Carol. Carol's out there. Hi, Carol. Remember when O'Donnell held the fingers of a woman who had her arms around her boyfriend in a restaurant across the street from his clinic in Houston? He held them for about 10 minutes. She never realized that it was physically impossible for her boyfriend to reach her hand in the position they were in. So Donna not only could make himself invisible, he also made his touch natural so it didn't interrupt the electrical flow between her and her boyfriend.
That's right. This,
that's we were, I don't quite understand what went on there.
Okay, I'll describe it because it's a story. We were at God, it's Friday, having our tequila and pineapple juice and Friday night. and thank God it's Friday. What do you expect?
TGIF.
There was a guy had his both arms around this woman's waist, and so his hands are around her, and she's hugging him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dono grabs one of her fingers and starts holding it. And says, now, even though she knows he has two hands, and this is a third hand, she can't conceive of a third hand holding her finger. So she obviously thinks this is her boyfriend's. And he goes on and on, giving us a lecture about how he holds his finger. So when he finds it, lets it go. Another friend of mine was with us named Henry Carner. So he reaches over to try it, and as soon as he touches her finger, she yanks it back like it's been stung by a bee. And give them a dirty look. But Adana, she didn't even notice that it wasn't her boyfriend holding her, even though three hands were now involved.
Oh, Adana was a piece of work, wasn't he? What a guy.
By the way, to show you how we're subjected to subliminal programming, Janssen's swimsuit for years ran an ad of two torsos and four hands, and they're all like involved, but in those ads, three of those hands were left hands and one was a right hand, which insinuated a menage a trois. Exactly. And the swimsuit sales went through the roof, though nobody noticed.
I'll be done.
Unconscious noticed enough to jack those sales. They ran those ads for years.
Isn't that funny? So for the guys who are, you know, kind of kinkier girls, went a little menage a trois, it was a subconscious thing that they thought, hey, they buy this and they'd be having one of those, right?
They thought of a threesome. That's and tough. Automatically, automatically the sales went up. Now, their conscious mind had no clue.
Nobody got it.
But you can still, if you find one of those old ads in the magazines, which now on... You know, if you go on the internet, you can find all these old magazines they have from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and back as far as you want. When you find those Janssen swimsuit ads, check it out.
That's funny. Yeah, well, there's a lot to all this ad stuff that goes on that, you know. What were we talking about the other day where, I guess the last show, where they give all these crazy disclaimers after the pharmaceutical ads, right? I was watching it. I was getting my tire repaired, and it's crazy. You know, half the ad is just telling you what it could do, like kill you, you know, less major bleeding, all this stuff. And then, but they play the music, you were saying, when they do this, and they show the pictures of the people being happy, so people don't hear all the disclaimers, like if you take this stuff, you could, you know, your kidney could explode or something.
humans are mostly visual, except those who meditate and develop the sonic structure. So they know that all those warnings and things, they make sure they read it off to you while you see the lady on the swing and the beautiful sunrise and the flowers and the bees and the hummingbirds and all that.
Less major bleeding here. Oh, boy, our brand is really good. What does Adam think about grounding, going barefoot on the ground? Is this beneficial?
You know, even with the magnetic flows that the power companies use, I think it's more than just electrical and magnetic. I think there's a connection with Earth in energies that we don't understand and that scientists are not telling us about.
I do too. So yeah.
Now, in the South, you must be careful because hookworms will get through a little cut there. So just be careful where you're going barefoot. But otherwise, I think it's amazing. And here in California, I used to love to go walking barefoot on the sand with waves just coming up to your feet, you know, with your pants rolled up. One of my favorite things to do. And you definitely can feel the energy.
Oh, that's magical because you're getting all the mo and the gel from the from the ocean water, all the minerals and all that sand. So are you far from the ocean where you are?
We're about a mile as the crow flies.
And in the car, like 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes to the closest beach, yep. My favorite is Carpinteria Beach, supposedly the safest beach in the world, because it really is a wonderful beach. It's about 10 miles from us, and I love that beach. I was raised there, and one time I went in the water, underwater, 86 days in a row, including during the winter.
Do you guys go down there a lot and to the beach?
No, often? No, now.
What do you mean? You're only a mile from the beach. You don't go down there?
I know. We're hermits. It's terrible.
You hermits. You're hermits.
Yeah, we are living in a compound, and we stick pretty much in the compound these days.
No kidding.
Whatever reason. It's a nice piece of property that our landlord has here. Mm-hmm. So we just hang around the property and walk in the little pathways and enjoy ourselves. That's and the funny. only day we really go any place is to the farmer's market on Saturdays and run any bank errands or health food store errands on that same day.
What health food store do you go to?
There's a place called Lazy Acres here, our backup is Whole Foods, but we only get there about a couple of times a year, I think, because Lazy Acres pretty well provides us with our health food. And most everything we buy at the farmer's market. So during the summer, we only go to Lazy Acres maybe once a month to get like cacao or coconut oil.
Stuff like that. So when you go to your farmer's markets, you have a big variety of stuff to get.
Oh, boy.
Is it good?
This is best farmer's market in the
kidding.
People come from other countries and say it's amazing. The variety is amazing, and some things that wouldn't normally grow here are grown in greenhouses, like papayas and bananas and things like that. In fact, I used to live near the northernmost banana plantation in the United States, right near Carpinteria. If you saw in the news the place where the mudslide had occurred years ago, where those people got killed, it was on the news. That was La Conchita, and that's where the banana plantation was, too.
Oh. So is there a great deal of awareness with the organic and GMOs in that farmer's market?
All the people we buy from are organic, including our dairy products. We buy raw butter, raw cheese.
Wow. Good.
We get organic olives. We get organic stone fruit. Now it's stone fruit time, you know, and tomato time and potato time. And we load up. It's a wonderful place. And we've become friends with a lot of the farmers. They're really nice people. They've been going through some rough times lately with the mudslides and the fires and everything. One of our markets, their house just burned down in one of the people we buy from.
And you can get some nice, good eggs, really, with good feed, organic feed and all that?
Free-range eggs from a place in Carpinteria, and we have a couple of backup places to get eggs when they don't show up.
We're
very fortunate. We get just about anything we want down at that farmer's market on a Saturday, and they also are running Tuesday, and then they have branches like Thursday in Carpinteria, Sunday, actually in Montecito. We've never been to the smaller one here in Montecito because we like the big one, Santa Barbara.
Well, when you guys get older, you can get out more, you know.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I used to be known as I used to make excuses to ride on the Greyhound bus. I would just buy tickets all the way cross country to Key West or Miami from Carpinteria or to Caribou, Maine, and just ride there and get back on the bus and ride back.
You're kidding.
And do reading and reading. Yeah. In fact, when I bought a ticket to Caribou, Maine from Santa Barbara, California, my ticket was 14 feet long. The bus driver said, "What the hell? Where the heck are you going? A 14-foot ticket?"
That's funny. And when would you do this?
I just love to do it. In fact, the book, The Butterflies Need No Taxidermist, which is on sale, I wrote that. The beginning of it was on the Greyhound bus. I simply got all of my Adano notes and cases of it. And on the bus seat while I was riding, I got little cards and alphabetically put them in order to make a encyclopedia, a dictionary type encyclopedia of all of what Adano talked about and about solar nutrition and body dowsing, etc. It's for sale on our site, and that's where I first wrote it on the Caribou, Maine.
What a great story. And what's the name of that one, Butterflies?
Butterflies Need No Taxidermy. It's just 4,000 miles. I stopped off to climb to the top of the Empire State Building in New York. And then on the way, there was a bus strike. We had a flat tire. The bus in front of us was tipped over by protesters. And we got there late, where all they did was a few of them were banging their picket signs on the side of our bus.
That's
but
great.
If we'd gone earlier, we would have been tipped over like those other people.
Can you take your, like on, let's see. If you go to solartiming.com and you get Butterflies Need No Taxidermist, could I download that and put that on my little, I got this little screen thing. I forget the name of it. I don't ever use it anymore. Can I download it and put it on a little reader thing?
Vibrant Gal says yes. And, of course, we'll comp you on that anytime, Patrick.
Would you send me that one? Because I want to, I can figure out how to download it, because I'd love to read that, but I don't want to read it on the computer. That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love to do that. To read The Butterflies. And I forget the name. Fibergal, what are these things called? It's called, I don't know. Amazon.
Kindle.
Well, it's like Kindle. A Kindle White or White Kindle. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Amazon Kindle, she says? Is one possible.
I'm such a Luddite. You know, I'm lucky I don't hurt myself with this stuff. But I think I could figure out how to put it on there, right? I think I can. I'll read it on there. Yeah.
Ask Vibrant Gal at the. She'll tell you. She's helped people who haven't been able to do that. In fact, she helps people. Some people in various places have trouble downloading your show, so they contact her and she tells them how to do it.
Well, it's nice to have a geek around the house. Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate that. I'd love to do that because I need to read that book, start to finish.
I'd be serious trouble. Okay. We'd be on the telephone, not on Skype, if it wasn't for her.
Yeah, cool, baby. Oh, Adam, we love you guys. Thanks a lot. You might want to go to, I'm sure Ellen's going to have a housewarming party. Maybe you guys could crash that, you know, or something.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to go to see the Netflix guy.
Oh, yeah, the Netflix guy. Who, yeah. The Netflix.
I've been watching a lot of movies lately. I've been watching Mexican gangster movies starring Damien Chapa.
What, are you really know? Are you doing that? Really?
One of my favorite actors, Damien Chapa. He also does other things. You know, his first Blood In, Blood Out, he was an actor that Taylor Hackford made a movie of called Blood In, Blood Out. And since then, he's made a whole bunch of Mexican gangster, El Padrino, Vatos Locos 1, 2, and 3.
You're so crazy. You like those, huh?
I like his acting. Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Are you an Amazon Prime member?
No. Oh. No. These, you know.
Where do you watch those? Where do you watch them?
It's YouTube. It's amazing how many things are available on YouTube without having to join anything. So it just, all we need is our cable, and I can watch just about any movie, including 2018 movies like Appleton, which is one of my favorite movies. It's a bit violent, but really good acting. And there's lots of movies out there for nothing. Actually, you're paying because you're paying for the internet service and the cable and everything. And then YouTube provides it. So there it is.
Well, yeah, if it would be like a sick bird illegal, it wouldn't be up there, you know?
It's perfectly legal. Yeah. Now, some things do come through illegal, and I've been guilty a couple of times when I really like the movie of doing it. Normally, I avoid that because I'm suspicious of getting hacked and all that. So I stated.
Yeah. You don't want movie karma because, you know, you want to be able to do the butterflies, need no taxidermist, you know, the epic, you know, directed by Oliver Stone someday. So you don't want movie karma.
Yeah, that's right. And so we go through YouTube and Vimeo is about the only two that we get on the movie site.
The epic. Don't Butterflies want- Need No Taxidermist, directed by Oliver Stone. I can see it now.
Coming to a movie theater near you.
That's right. Coming to a theater near you. Starring Nicole Kidman. Okay, kiddo. We love you. And thanks to Private Cow. We love you, girl. And we'll see you real soon. And next month, if not before. But thanks for your ongoing participation in your blogs and stuff.
Bright sun upon you and everybody else.
All right, sir. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. May the blessings be. Okay, I love you guys. Thanks a lot. And we have a great show for you tomorrow. We have two guests. We're going to do a little wild foraging and medicine woman stuff and medicine guy stuff and doing some natural things for your medicine cabinet. That'll be fun. And also a show on essential oils. And we haven't done a show with essential oils for a long time with the cool gal who lives up in Maine. That'll be tomorrow on... at 9 o'clock Central Time. Thanks a lot for your ongoing support. I love you guys. Bye.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.